Well, good morning. We're on and we are recording. And so that's the first miracle accomplished for the day. And remember what we were studying a little bit last week? We were in a little bit of Hebrews. We're in the Hebrews on Wednesday night. That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. You all need to come to hear Brother Carroll on Wednesday night if you can at all. It's just a wonderful series. Hebrews is such a powerful book. And I would encourage you very much to make a little bit of special effort. I don't like driving it dark either, so I'll confess to that. But it was like a little light came on. Okay, you can make it. You can make it. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, what were we studying last week? The last what?
Last times.
That's right. And we're going to continue on the last times and see what else the Lord can just give us to say about what is going to happen. And guys, we're seeing a lot of it going on right now. Where is there not unrest? Where is there not civil disobedience? People not happy with the current political situation? I'm not real happy about this political situation, but it's nothing like what we see where there are insurrections and people trying to take over countries. And I'm just thankful that our country is civil enough not to do that. But there's just a lot going on, not only here, but around the world that we need to pay attention to. And we're still going to be in the end times this week. And we just need to remember that if we choose to ignore the prophetic scriptures, then we're ignoring roughly a third to one fourth of the whole Bible. And so some people will say, I'm not really, don't want to get involved in that. I don't know much about prophecy. Some of it is concerning to me. It scares me. It confuses me. Well, that's sort of the Satan talking. And we need to really get in there. And first thing we need to do is to get on our knees to pray about it, that the Lord will just open up our hearts and our minds to what he wants to say to us and teach us when we read these scriptures that may be confusing. And yes, I'll tell you, some of these things that I read, I've got to go back and reread and get some books out to look it up and what to figure out exactly what I need to be getting out of it. So sometimes if you're reading prophetic scriptures, it's going to be a little bit of work. So I challenge you to not let that deter you, but let that be an encouragement to get into Word, and not just to open up the Bible to read it. But before you do that, let me tell you, you got to pray that the Lord will just open up your understanding to that you receive in your heart what God has for you at that time. He may have something totally different than he has for me or others on the same passage of Scripture, but it's so important. I cannot emphasize that enough. So please think about that, even if you're not having, and I know most all of you are, a regular time to read the scripture, I would encourage you to think about that. Because where do I think we are? I think we're in the last days. And I may be wrong, but we've been talking about signs of the end times, and I'm going to be talking about a few more signs of the end times. And that is where I'm not going to say it's scary, but it just makes me aware that it's getting closer and closer to when I'm going to see my Jesus. And I'm not talking about going through death's door, but I'm just talking about what we all believe is going to be the next thing when he calls us home and what we call the rapture. And I'm excited about that. I'm not expecting it tomorrow. And as one of their preachers, I remember, I forget the name of the radio broadcast, but he always ended his sermon for that day by saying, keep on praying, working, and watching. And I can't beat that. That really says it all. So now we've talked about several signs of the end times, and we're going to look at some more of those now. And one of these is in the scripture, is in James chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. And it talks about heaping up treasure in the last days. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You remember the parable in the New Testament that Jesus told about the man that went out and hired workers for his field in the morning for a certain wage, and then later in the morning got some more. Later, they got some more. And then the afternoon, in the evening tide, they got some more workers to go into those fields. And at the end of the day, what did he pay all those workers? The same thing. Who wasn't happy? The guys that got there last. I remember that. You can't forget that. But what did the landowner say? He said, when I hired you, I told you what I was going to pay you, and you said that was fine. So the rest of it is none of your business. That's just the way I want to do it. It's my prerogative. I'm going to treat all the same. All of them are going to have the same reward for the work they've done. And I think that's the way the Lord is talking to us today too, isn't he? Because some of us have been Christians a long time. And some haven't been that Christians that long. Some have been saved fairly recently. We know that all around this area and the people we know. But we're all going to have the same blessings that going into heaven. Yeah, the Lord may treat some of us a little bit differently in heaven, but we're all going to be there if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. And that's the main thing. And we just need to be conscious of that. So in James 5, 3 through 6, your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered men, or the innocent one, meaning Christ, who was not opposing you. And that sort of says it all. So what are we heaping up? We're not supposed to be heaping up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, right? And what are they? Well, what do you think some of the treasures in heaven are? I'm not trying to get personal, but if you just think about that, what treasures do you think can be heaped up before heaven?
Good treasures.
I would hope so.
But what I was wanting to say is concern for your fellow man.
And if you're concerned for your fellow man, you're loving them too, aren't you?
Right.
Now, does that mean I'm going to stop at the exit to the interstate all the time and put a penny in the cup of someone beside that? Not necessarily, no.
No, because there's too many jobs.
Yeah, right now, exactly. There are too many jobs. That's right. Well, that came out quick, didn't it? He's absolutely right. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that, but there's so many ways that we can do things for the Lord. And just what you were talking about, people helping out with the this weekend that's coming up. What's it called?
U-turn.
So, for some of us, it may not be very easy to do that, but for some, it would be too. So, I would hope that you would consider, if you can, or if you know someone that can, that they can participate in helping with U-turn. And then we talk about terrible to perilous times is the way the scripture talks about our terrible times. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Now, when it says that, what kind of times can you think of may there be?
Persecution.
And are we going to be the persecutors or the persecuted? I think I know the answer to that. And I'm not talking about what we're looking forward to is the rapture, but even before the rapture gets there, do you think we may be seeing some perilous times? Are we seeing some now?
Seeing them today.
What do you think about when we think about perilous times today?
Disease. Morality.
Disease. Do we have any diseases that are causing us trouble today? Maybe COVID could be considered that way. Goodness gracious. That's that's just conditioned us to be separate from each other and really be wary of each other. And yeah, I would be happy to shake hands with people, but I know that that's not for everybody. Am I being more careful about hugs? Yeah, I'll have to confess I am. I just think it's prudent to do that. But the Lord is going to work it out for us eventually. When? I don't know. But that is just one of those things that's happening. So, terrible times. I can't consider COVID to be a terrible time. It's an inconvenient time, isn't it? It's just a pain in wherever you want to say.
A terrible time is an indoctrination of our children.
As you were just, that is correct. As what this course is going to show. And we think about not necessarily in this group our children, but our grandchildren. And that hurts even more, doesn't it? You think about them and your children, your daughter, your son-in-law or daughter-in-law are doing the best they can with the kids. But they have an uphill battle. I thought we had it tough raising our children. My word, it's almost exponential as to what has happened in these last 15 or 20 years. I think about it, and it's just more than I can really comprehend.
It's hard to say, Bill, but what we need to do is be encouraged.
Okay, now then. You're talking about encouragement. And in what ways can we be encouraged, and in what ways, and I'm not asking you, Glenn, to be the only one to answer this, but in what ways can we be encouragers? And I am asking for answers to that. How can we be encouragers to people?
Yeah, constantly speaking to our grandchildren about being servants, as Jesus was, and what are they doing to build their legacy, even at their school? What are they leaving behind? Are they just going to absorb, or are they going to leave behind at those schools as well? And what are their gifts, and how are they going to use those gifts to serve others?
And so if you're able to give those kinds of advice to your grandchildren, you're really, are you not, encourage them to be leaders and not followers? And if they're going to be leaders, we really need to prayerfully work and encourage them as much as possible to stay in the Word of God, because that's where they're going to learn the real truths about leadership. Is that not right? I think so. So, and 2 Timothy, Timothy 3:1, we say, be terrible times in the last days. Good grief. And I may get into this a little bit more, but there are so many ways that in the political stream that the politicians are trying to put a disparaging behavior on those that are Christians and are trying to follow the Lord, trying to say all kinds of stuff against us. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. Hopefully we'll be able to do that in a little while, but I just think about that. And then 2 Timothy 3:2 says, we can be disobedient to parents. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Now, it's hard for me to approach that comment, that statement, easily, because if I was being disobedient to my parents, I would still remember it. Because there would be consequences.
You might bear the scar.
Bear the emotional, if not physical. And that is the truth. I don't think.
It could be as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if you ever remember these, but I will have to confess there have been once or twice in my life that I may have not done something right during the day, and when Mother came back from doing some shopping and I was home after school, she would bring, and I used to think it was just a toy to play with, what you call the bolo paddle. Remember the bolo paddles? You had the ball and you bounced it and you could do all kinds of things behind your back with that little bouncy ball. But I knew what was going to happen with that, because that ball was going to be come off of that paddle, and I just hoped that Mother would remember to remove the staple that was in the paddle, or it would have even been worse. And did I deserve that? Yeah. Probably a lot more than I got. And I still remember when we moved from that house and they moved all the furniture, got everything out of the way. I don't know how many bolo paddles Mother found around the house.
You hit them, huh?
Well, they just sort of got lost behind the cracks and everything. But isn't it something how you remember things like that, but then you remember how much your parents loved you and cared for you, and almost what they tried to do for you. And I think that each of us can remember that in our children. They're going to remember how we cared for them, even when we may not have used a bolo paddle, but something. Yes, sir.
Bill, that was the beginning of the Board of Education.
The Board of Education applied to the what? The seat of knowledge, right? Exactly. That is very true. Now, and I think, did I read 2 Timothy 3:2? If I didn't, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to check off when I read it. People will be lovers of themselves. I didn't read this already, did I?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I'm going to put a check right there.
But it's okay.
Thank you. There's a lot more I can say about that, so we might come back to that later. Luke 21:25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Does this verse bring anything to your memory, into your mind, any events around this time that we can think about? Well, I talked a little bit about the Tonga volcano, I think it was, that erupted undersea. And there was a tidal wave. There were a few people killed. Yes, that's always terrible. But it wasn't a devastating situation. It was bad enough. But there are many things that are happening, especially when you think of volcanoes and even storms and hurricanes. And we think about the roaring and the tossing of the sea. The sea is big, and it's terrible, and there's a lot of mass to the water of the earth, and we just have to endure that sometimes. And then in Matthew 24:14, let me see, I want to look at Matthew 24. I think it's about the gospel being preached around the world. Let me pull that up real quick. Here we go. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When I read this passage back when I was young, I knew, I was sure that there was just about no place even back then that hadn't heard the gospel. I knew there were some places. But can we say that now? Do we think that there still may be places where the gospel isn't really heard? We know where Katie's going. There's a lot of darkness there, but there are many other places too. But I'm not sure if there are any more places left. What do you think?
Not many, probably.
Ken Boa, in his Friday class.
And what time is that on Friday?
Yes, it's 7 o'clock.
7 a.m. on Friday, Ken Boyd. And after the lesson, you will buy everybody's breakfast that wants to come.
Actually, not last week, because Don wasn't here. Don buys the breakfast.
Oh, Don buys the breakfast. Okay, got it.
And Ken Boa put up a group of different charts and showed how Christianity is expanding. And I would have never thought that, would you, when you saw that chart? But it's not expanding here in the United States. around the world, there are more conversions now than ever.
So for those that may not have heard, Bobby, Ken Boyle put up a chart showing how Christianity is expanding around the world, not so much here in the States, but around the world.
Yeah.
As a percentage of the total population.
Right, as a percentage of the total population.
But the attacks on Christians around the world is continuing to increase.
They're almost exponential, I think, attacks on Christians around the world. And they're more brutal, more open, more ruthless. And the ones that are doing it are seem to be filled with more hate. And I wonder if that's because Satan is realizing I've got to up my game somehow.
He's kicking, Bill.
Hmm?
He's kicking.
He's kicking and screaming and trying to run away from what's going to happen. You know, like I remember trying to run away from my mother, but she could always chase me around with that bolo paddle. But I digress again.
One of the things that this verse touches on is having the gospel spread around the world. It's very important that it be spread in ways that people can understand. And I'm alluding to the Wycliffe Bible translators that I used to work with in their aviation arm. That's a wonderful organization.
The Wycliffe Bible, Wycliffe is a wonderful group. They're still active too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're active, I think, right now in over 600 different languages. But if you ask somebody what language they go to whenever they're talking about spiritual things, they always go to their original language.
Yeah, and they want it in their original language. Mm-hmm. And as a Gideon, I know that because we're publishing the Bible in over 200 languages right now, and that's just hard to do. And getting the word out is so important. And Wycliffe has done and continues to do a great job in that. Thank you for bringing that up. So there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. That's Luke 21:25. And again, are we seeing that? We sure are. The oceans can, I just look all the time, there'll be tidal waves and there'll be things happening. And what goes on in the sea, we don't even know it. How deep is it? 27,000 feet someplace in some trench? Can't imagine that. And it's what are the signs going to be? Well, we just have to see them as they come. But the scripture says there'll be more signs. And then as we go, in Matthew 24:14, and the question is, and I'll ask it again, do you think the gospel has been preached to all the world? Not necessarily. Katie's a good example of that. And there's darkness over there. And could she and those that are with her be some of those that are going to be bringing this scripture to fruition, to really happening? I think so. And that's why I need to keep praying for them and being thankful they're going. And then I think about the ultra-rich, so the multi-billionaires and all that. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not one of them, so I'll just tell you that up front. But have you... And there may be some, but I don't know this. Have you heard a Christian testimony from any of them? I'm trying to think. And I couldn't find anything about that. Now, am I being critical? No, I'm not being critical about that. Maybe they are, but I haven't heard or seen any of them giving God the glory for how they have amassed such a tremendous fortune, and they're using it for their own purposes and their own ways, and they can do it. So it doesn't make any sense, really, to ignore Bible prophecy, because if it's prophesied, guess what? It's going to happen. And I'm not trying to discuss all the prophecies in the Word of God, no way, but just to lay the groundwork for why it's important for all of us as Christians to read and seek to understand biblical prophecy. It's important. We can't say, oh, it scares me. I don't want to get into that. It's confusing. Well, it may be, But go ahead and read and try to seek out what you can. And if you need some thing, Carol's wonderful to help you out with that. Jim's wonderful to help you out, and others too. And so you need to read even what you think you may not understand very well. And yes, that would include the Revelation. And I believe, last count, there are 66 books in the Bible. And in order, I feel, to really get a good grasp of the Revelation, how many books of the Bible should you read before you get to Revelation? I'm thinking 65. And you may say, Bill, that's a lot of, I don't have time to read all that. Well, maybe you need to make time, friend. I'm sorry. And a lot of you are working hard. You got a lot going on. I appreciate that. But sometime you need to ask the Lord to carve out maybe 15 or 30 minutes during the day where you can read a little bit and pray about what you've read. And I don't know what I would do without daily devotion. It's just so meaningful, and it's not something I've just started the last few weeks. It's just a habit. And when I miss it, I don't like it.
May I put in a plug for the daily devotion?
You go right ahead and put in the plug for the daily devotion. Yes, sir.
Along with the scripture first, and then your devotion. Jesus calling.
Oh, that's what you use for your devotion?
I've had many, but that's the one.
That you like.
Jesus calling. And it is wonderful. And it's by a lady, but it's still wonderful. Sarah Summers.
I don't think I'll repeat that for the other members of the class. Let's just say that the lady does a wonderful job, and I am sure she does. And I can think real quick about many Bible teachers, the ladies, and the best one I never know was my mother. When she wasn't using the Bible, the Bolo paddle, she was teaching the Word of God to her Sunday school classes. And I was saved at her feet when she was reading, we were reading John 3:16. And I'll never forget that. We're not supposed to forget when we were saved, are we? So, let me see where I was. Did I get lost already? I think, make sure I know where I am. Okay. And so we've talked about some current events that could be a fulfilling prophecy. And have you talked about critical race theory?
No, not today.
We talked about it a little bit last week, didn't we? And it's really... This is a tricky one. It's a academic discipline that was formulated in the 90s, and it was built on the intellectual framework of identity-based Marxism. Now, that's a mouthful, and it's hard for me to, in the time I have here in the class, to really talk about it. But basically what critical race theory does, it proposes suspending private property rights, seizing the land and wealth of normal citizens, and redistributing all the land and the wealth along racial lines. And that is being taught more and more people are listening to it and think it sounds good because they don't have as much wealth as others and they won't it. And I cannot even begin to describe to you the woke, quote, end quote, woke movement that's going on. I know it's encompassed by a lot of people, but I cannot have the time to really discuss and explain more about the woke craze that's around.
On Fox Nation... it's a miseducation of America. There's a 5 or 6 part series, and you can get on Fox Nation for free if you use the promo code CLASSROOM. I think I have all this right. And it actually goes back 100 years where the deterioration of our education in government schools.
Okay, Bob's talking about on Fox Nation, it gives a great synopsis how government schools have deteriorated over the years. And I know we've talked about this before. You can remember reading the Bible then Sunday and in your before your day started in class. Mm-hmm. Good grief.
Saying the pledge.
Do they still say, I think I asked this last week, do the...
No.
They don't say the pledge in class anymore? Wow. So we wonder...
They say some other things, but they don't say the pledge.
Yeah, they say a lot of things, don't they? Don't they? Okay. So now then...
Figure out what gender they are,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, now we have... And we talked before about the gender identity and what's going on. We talked about that last week, about a... male athlete that's converted the gender to female and is just destroying world records in swimming, in collegiate swimming, and that's bad. But what is COVID doing to us? Really, it's conditioning us, I think, in so many ways. What I said that, so I'm going to ask you, if you think about COVID, and if you think it's conditioning us, what ways do you think it's doing that?
Well, it's separating people, like you alluded to earlier, I think, Bill. In other words, before COVID, I think people in general were a lot closer, and now everybody's leery of everybody.
So we're not as close to each other as we were.
Yeah.
All right.
It's destroyed a lot of family unity.
Family unity is taking a hit.
Suicide in young people, children are growing up, and the biggest incidents of that are young girls.
Okay, suicide among juveniles or young people, and you say, from information you have heard, it's more for females than males.
Yes.
I wonder why that is, because... females need more self-identity. I don't know why. I don't know why the reasons are. I'm certain that. Yes, ma'am.
I wasn't going to say anything, but this is one thing I'm pretty passionate about. There's a connection that a lot of people see. I personally see with a lot of girls these days, and that is the fact that relationships with father figure relationships now are so uncommon to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about the gender identification, this, that, and the other, it all has to do with people in my generation typically don't have the roots that your generation had. Like if you look at TV shows now, there's nobody over like 30, whereas back before we had Andy Griffith, we had all kinds of shows that showed the wisdom being passed down from the older generation to the younger. Well, these days, because of the internet, in Ecclesiastes it says, with much wisdom comes much vexation. And these days, you have all the information you could possibly want at the click of a button, so people need a lot more stimulation. It's a confusing time for everyone, and there's no longer that connection between the older generation and the newer generation. So it goes back to lean not on your own understanding, because you can look at someone who identifies as a male, if they are biologically a female or vice versa, and it's easy to judge them quickly, but you never know why. And it could be, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with just trying to find your identity in something, because Jesus Christ is no longer the forefront anymore. It's not families anymore. So the encouragement I'd like to give to you, though, or all of you, is that there's a saying that good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. Hard times create strong men or strong people. Strong people create good times. We're in the hard times right now, and I see it more and more that the generation starting to rise up, and really what a lot of people need is just don't jump to the conclusion. But you're like right on point with all of this. It is very unsettling. I know plenty of people of my age who've taken their own lives, who've you know, done this, that, or the other. The devil's got blinders on us, but the fight's not over. We know who wins.
The devil's got blinders on us, but you see, you got to keep fighting. Your words, Lacey, are really right on point. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sorry that others on the class can't hear that as well, that we're recording it for, but we appreciate that. Yes, sir, go ahead, Bob.
Please repeat what you said about good men, bad men.
Hard times, well, I'll go back. Good times create weak men. Why? Because everything's easy, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to do this, that, or the other. Weak men create hard times, and that is kind of the generation that, and it's not their fault, but that caused this. But hard times create strong men, mm-hmm. because you have to rise up. People will rise up, and then strong men create good times. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. So it's not very taking good. God by surprise.
Thank you.
Lacey, will you continue with us?
You're welcome to come back every week.
And as we talk about that, and those words were certainly insightful and full of wisdom beyond your natural years, young lady, and we appreciate that. And I just think about what in the world has happened to men over the past 20 years in TV shows. You remember what Father Knows Best, mm-hmm. Andy Griffith. Think about that. Now, who else, and do we have anything that compares to that today? No. And so why do, I know Treva and I, we don't watch many of the new sitcoms. They're all weird, I think. And so we end up watching a lot of the reruns, because they are more of the time that we're familiar with, comfortable with, and can relate to. And they also, and you're right, they engender the type of lifestyle where the father and the mother are in control and the kids pay attention to them. And nowadays they all rebel. And the shows you have, I guess, Cheers and that genre, it's all about young adults having a lot of fun. They don't talk about parents or anything to do with that.
And a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, quotation, end quotation. And I'm sure everybody can come up with some more TV shows that they remember where it was really family-oriented and nice to have. And to have that now is something that we are not privileged to.
May I say something?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
I think in today's world, one of the problems is that parents are working to gather material goods, and they're so tired that they don't have time and the energy to discipline their children. So the kids get by with, as we would always say,
so mom and dad are both having to work, and the kids are latchkey kids. Are
Bill? They don't just work 8 hours.
They work more hours than that.
Multiple
hours.
Nights and whenever, weekends.
And the kids are on their own, and doing their own thing. They may not. I'm not saying they're mean kids, but they're by themselves, and so they're going to just start developing habits that aren't good for them.
And even when they're around, they're with them, they're so tired and worn out that, so what if Johnny hits brother and makes him cry? Nothing said.
Yeah.
Or so what if they're doing something they know they should not be doing? Everybody's so tired. Oh, that's just him.
So discipline is not being administered as thoroughly as it was. Don't see too many bolo paddles being used anymore. Is that the bottom line?
You got them all hit.
Yeah, I hit them all. Yeah, I mean, good grief. If Mom did that today, she would already be in jail, wouldn't she? Yes, ma'am. Oh, if you discipline your children in public, you're terrible.
To support them that they're abusing their children.
Do you remember, and I've seen it maybe just one or two times, and again, I have to go back to my mother because she had two little boys, and my brother was 5 years older, and I was an angel compared to him. That just gives you an idea about my brother. And so whenever she set him down, he was gone. So she had one of those little leashes on him. You know what I mean by that? And this lady, and I still remember mother saying that this lady, what do you mean having that leash on that little child? That's terrible. And she said, if I didn't have that leash on him, he'd be running in the street. What do you want me to do? And she didn't take any slack, any crap on that. Pardon my French.
Bible boys would, even when they was teenagers, they would sit, and I made sure at church that they would sit at least no more than two pews ahead of me.
I mean, the kids had to sit close to you in church?
Yes, sir.
You were a terrible mom.
I know, and my oldest one would say to the other boys, teenagers that would sit with them, stop talking, mama's looking. I could stare at the back of their heads, and
they know it.
Your eyeballs were burning the hair on the backs of their head. Is what it was. Yeah, I'm thoroughly believe that most moms back then, at least, had X-ray vision.
And school teachers.
And today in the public school, at least in the public school, you can't even look at them strong. I mean, the discipline is totally gone.
Now, I hate to be bringing up personal experiences too much, especially like this. I remember the first day of school, first grade, Miss Henry was the teacher. I was in my chair, and then I realized there's this girl I didn't know behind me that I wanted to talk to. So I just turned around, put my knees on the chair, and leaned over the back of the chair and started talking to her. The next thing I knew, whap! It was bigger than a bolo paddle on my rear end. And I never did forget that. Never did do it again. Can you imagine that?
Not today.
Oh, no.
It wasn't Trimble, was it?
No, it wasn't. No. She came along pretty soon, but no, it wasn't Trimble then. So, we have COVID. And we have other issues. Are these things conditioning us for different behavior nowadays? We talked about that a little bit. What are we used to now? We're used to long lines. We're used to being, I don't know if I could say sneered upon, but looked down upon if you don't give a generous tip, even for poor service, because they're working so hard nowadays, they deserve more of a tip. And even if it's mediocre service, and I used to be, I normally gave a fairly decent tip, but if they worked hard, I let them know I appreciated it. But now it's expected. And what are we teaching these servers and these people that accept tips? Just to do what you're supposed to do, and they better tip you good. And I just think that's a sign of the times. I alluded to a little bit last week about Canada, and never did get into it, and I don't have really time, or I don't know enough about it to get into it now, but I did want to say this about the Canadian situation. There's some legislation that has already gone into effect January the 8th of this year. It was fast-tracked through the Canadian Parliament in December, and there was very little extensive debate about it at all. And what this legislation does is, it describes as a myth, quote, end quote, a myth, the belief that heterosexuality and cisgender identity are preferable. Counseling that does not align with such a worldview now carries a potential 5-year jail sentence. And that's Canadian law now. And the language is being criticized for being overly broad and could even include private conversations. And there have been a number of pastors, including some who have recently been imprisoned in Canada for keeping their churches open in defiance of government health orders. I've seen pictures of the pastors being dragged away by the police. John MacArthur has been very much on this and watching over this as well. And they've been in prison for keeping their doors open in defiance of the government health orders to shut the churches. And many of the pastors up there and the people in Canada believe that the scope of the new law could open the door to religious persecution. That's next door. Are you hearing a lot about that down here?
Nope.
We are not. I wonder why. Is that how something sort of sneaks in when you don't realize what's going on? I'm afraid that's a part of it. And do we think it's going to get worse? I don't see any reason for it to get better. And what about this thing with Ukraine and Russia? I'm still trying to figure out what's going on there. What do you think? What is behind this other than a desire for more power from Russia? I'm not sure. Do y'all have any thoughts about that? Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one, because to me, that is not good. And let me just ask some questions, and I'm not trying to be picky or judgmental or anything, but a question is, what articles, books, or other materials are you reading right now? Now, don't everybody jump up and say, I read the Bible all the time, every day. But what are you reading? Anything you want to discuss about that you are reading that you think is pertinent or not? I'm just throwing that out. Okay. Do you know people, and you may be included in this group, and I'm not being critical at all, I'm just asking, but it's something to talk about. Anybody that's stocking up on foodstuffs, clothing, firearms, ammunition, things of that nature now. Do you know anybody like that? I'm not trying to get names, but can you address that and what you think about that? I mean, I know some people, some are in a Bible study, a devotion group that I go with, and it's nothing to buy thousands of rounds of ammunition at one time. Yes, sir.
I've got a personal opinion on that.
Yes, sir, Glenn.
You can be as healthy as you can be and walk out in front of a truck. Think about that.
So you're thinking you cannot prepare enough for bad things to happen when anything can happen in just an instant.
That's right.
Some people can say, well, that's just being fatalistic. But I think that's being more in the line of being realistic myself, and I would concur to that. We don't personally store up or stock anything. Now, we do have a case of water in the basement, and we have places to go in the basement under the steps if there's a storm coming through. But that's just common sense, I think. Yes, sir?
Anybody can be stupid.
He really looked at me really strongly when he said the words, anybody can be stupid. But that's okay. I know.
You need to think about things and be prepared, but you can over-prepare.
We can over-prepare. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And sometimes I'm sure my sweet wife may agree that I do go overboard in certain things, but I try not to. But as I say, we got the bottles of water in the basement.
We have a lot of potato chips.
Potato chips are good. You can't disagree with that. And we need that. And then you think, well, do we need a phone line down there? Well, the line's going to be cutting away. But we need to use common sense to be prepared for stuff. Yes, sir.
Bill, may I say, I won't mention who, but I know folks that probably have 3 to 6 months' supplies ahead and ignore the church. Mm-hmm.
Some folks, you know, have 3 to 6 months of supplies, as we were just talking about, and they ignore the church. They don't even go to church. Well, in a way, they're just thinking about themselves, aren't they?
Right.
They're not thinking about others. And sort of my thought is, I guess I hadn't really pinpointed it that way, but it's like, if I'm going to stock all that for ourselves, what if our neighbors come knocking on the door? What are we going to do? Are we going to say, no, I don't have anything for you? I couldn't do that. I'd be sharing with them. Then they'd be telling other people. So in just a few days, the 6 months supply I'd have would be 6 days.
Bob says you can only have one.
Oh, okay.
Potato chip. You only have one potato chip.
One potato chip from Bob, and that's it. I understand that very much. Love you too, brother. No problem at all.
Well, your stockpile of ice cream would be melted with mini electricity.
I need to figure out how to have a year's supply of dry ice so I can have my ice cream stored. That's one thing I need to do. Haven't figured out a way. If anybody comes up with an idea on that, let me know.
Need a generator.
Yep. Now, and we talked about last week, we're slowly becoming a cashless society. Did y'all think about that anymore? The more I think about it, and I must admit, it makes it easier. I don't have a lot of change. How many of you have change jars about 5 feet high? You know, all kinds of change in it. We do. We just do that. Why? I don't know. Any solid reason? Something to count when it's a rainy day? I don't know.
Rainy day.
But it's something we can think about. I don't call that hoarding. I just call that being human. And so we know that. And so people stock up not on clothing, but they have not just on food, but clothing, firearms, and ammunition. We know that. And we talked about, and I'll mention again, we are more and more becoming a cashless society, and I just don't know about that. It's just, it's so much easier to pay electronically. And could we do without cash today? Yeah, we could already do without cash today.
Bill?
Sir?
There's a lot of good reasons.
A lot of good reasons
but
for that.
The thing about it is, it's like other things. It may look good, and it is good in a certain aspect, but the ultimate, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, what is the end game going to be, if you have a cashless society? What's the end game? What else is happening that I think is going to change? And this is way off base, so it just goes with a lot of things I say. Battery powered vehicles. I think there are going to be more and more of those things. And in about 20 years, what are we going to do with all those dead batteries? Sorry, I had to ask that question. But
what is it, 85, 95 up in Virginia when they closed the tunnel down, the road was shut down because of ice and freezing weather for 2 days to have an electric car?
Oh, yeah, the roads were shut down for a couple of days, and the electric cars couldn't do anything. You couldn't just turn them off. The batteries would drain out. That's true. And one thing that we talked about a little bit, and I'm not. It's just hard to go into. And is critical race theory. Okay, I did talk about that, and I just think about it because it's going to suspend property rights, and I can't get over what all it's going to do. It just sort of breaks my heart when you think about it. Now,
there is opposition to that. I don't think it's going to sweep the country anytime soon. You got people like those parents up in Loudoun County, Virginia, that are just saying, not going to happen here. And they're causing a ruckus all over the country. I hope.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen.
It's up to us. We're a generation that young families, we have the financial ability, more so than young families that are raising a bunch of kids, and the start of it in this area can be tonight at 6:30. The only way we're going to change it is the education system and getting kids out of government schools.
Yeah. To change it is going to have to be an education system that is not provided through the government.
We have to wrap the Lord around every subject.
Yeah. And one more, I'll read a paragraph about critical race theory. It's really an equity-based form of government. And it could mean the end not only of private property, but also of individual rights. Equality under the law, federalism, and freedom of speech. These would be replaced by, listen now, race-based redistribution of wealth, group-based rights, active discrimination, and omnipotent, which is all-powerful, bureaucratic authority. Historically, the accusation of, quote, end quote, anti-Americanism has been overused. But in this case, it's not a matter of interpretation. Critical race theory prescribes a revolutionary program that would overturn the principles of the Declaration of Independence and destroy the remaining structure of the Constitution. So with those enlightening and really invigorating words.
That's why you store up ammunition.
That's why you store up ammunition.
May I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
The big takeaway I'm starting to see more and more is that listing off all of these problems that are going on in our country right now, we, like I was saying before, we have the ability to reach more people than we've ever reached in our entire life. So how is the devil going to get in the way of that? He's going to distract us. And right now, how I know I'm guilty of this, how often do you find yourselves discussing with your fellow Christians or anyone the problems of this country, of the problems of this society? You know, I like to say, you can either complain that thorn bushes or rose bushes have thorns, or you can be happy that thorn bushes have roses. And you know, it's so hard to be distracted by comparison when you're captivated by purpose. And our purpose on this planet is to bring others to salvation. And right now, we're all so up in arms and angry about what we think it should be, mm-hmm. instead of focusing on how it is and what we can do about it. Because, you know, everything going on in this country, there's not a lot we can do about it. We can, you know, we can support the walks, all this, that, and the other, but in the end, this is one nation under God. And God sees it all. And God is looking at us, I think, right now going, stop worrying about this. I've got this. Go feed my sheep. Go make disciples among the nations. Because right now, I see so many missed opportunities to witness to people and to bring people to salvation, because they are desperately trying to grasp any good. Most people my age now don't think anything good will ever happen again. How many other generations have thought that, though? And how many generations have seen good come again? Right now, we have an opportunity to be fishers of men, to show them Jesus. Because when Jesus is in your heart, you start to reflect him. So you don't necessarily have to worry about preaching to them. You just need to be Jesus to them. And God will work on their hearts through faith. But life is so much stressful when you stress about the things you can't do anything about. Once you learn to take control of the things you can and do something about it. And we serve the God of the universe, God of miracles, the great physician, you know. And we put such a limit on what he can do. We pray small prayers, little prayers, prayers. Because in the end, he fed the 5,000. You know, he rose the dead. The God of this universe died for us. We're the only religion in the world where the power that we worship is trying to reach us instead of us just trying to reach him.
He's still alive.
Right, and that's it. He is still alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And When we stop focusing on the bad and reframe the situation. Well, yeah, COVID wrecked everything. Yeah, the government's in shambles, but he still reigns.
Mm-hmm.
And we've read the end of the book. We know what it says. You know, good wins, but we live our life through moments. You know, the best time to plant a tree, you know, is 30 years ago. The second best time is today. But we have this opportunity, especially you guys, because people my age are desperately trying to cling to anything that just makes sense. Because we don't like it either. You know, we see the nonsense going on, and you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh answer stirs up anger. Everybody's so ready to be, you know, to be angry at everyone else out of defense, because you're expecting other people to, to lash out at you. So what do? You're always up in arms, and then any sign of contempt from another person, you jump at them. But, you know, like I said, lean not on your own understanding.
And Lacey, that was predicted in the Bible,
right?
The scripture. Bill. I thought you had a good lesson.
Let me finish with just the one passage of Scripture, and that is to go along with what Leslie said. I hope you all have a life verse. Mine is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication that your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. And the quick version of that, which I like to think about, is don't worry, let God worry for you.
Bill, that's mine too.
It is.
You stole it.
Yes, sir, I did. let's say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time. Just thankful for the wisdom of this young lady who spoke to us a couple of times. We're so grateful for her and for her family. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. And we just lift up Jim and Vicky, that you'll grant them the rest and the recuperation that they need. And we just look forward to them coming back next week. And just watch over us and guide us. And all we say and do with our pastor as he preaches right now, that he'll open your word in a way that would draw us closer to you. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.